is like you, Lord, in all the earth. Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. For nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the intro song is Your Presence is Heaven, done by Israel and New Breed. I hope this episode is finding you well. And if you are a new listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are a returning listener, I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I hope that you are sharing the podcast if you are finding yourself blessed from what is shared. So I want to get right on into what this episode is about. If you've listened to the previous episodes, you know that the Lord sent me on a mission to some mega churches, and he wanted me to observe three things, and he shared those things with me at the end of the third visit. And so those three things were performance praise, irreverence, and man-centered worship. So in the previous episode, I dealt with the entertainment type praise or the performance praise that we're finding in a lot of churches today. And today I want to deal with the irreverence that is happening in the houses of God. Now, this it doesn't just apply to mega churches. It applies to many churches, regardless of size, where there is an irreverence for God. And so I want to deal with that. I share that the second church that my family and I visited, irreverence kind of stuck out for me because of what I was witnessing within the house. And I don't know if you listened to the previous episode, so I'll just share a little bit about the mega church that I visited. Now, I don't have anything against mega churches because it has its positives and it also has some negatives, just like a small church or a mid-sized church. But it's the Lord himself that told me or sent me to visit these churches, and he gave me these observations to deal with. And so I hope you don't see it as being judgmental or any of those things. But again, I've already given that disclaimer in a previous episode, so you can go back and listen to that one. But I visited a church, and doing praise and worship, you know, I noticed that the children were running back and forth. And I had, you know, growing up in church, I've never seen that where you would allow kids to just play with balloons and balls and things like this in the sanctuary, actually during the worship service. So I was taken aback a little bit by that. Also, in the way that we handle communion, you know, I came from a small Baptist church that grew, you know, while I was there for those many, many years. And the way that we handled, communion was a sacred thing that we did. And so we just tried to be honorable and respectful when we did. So we didn't just do it any old kind of way. We just kind of were at the beginning before the pandemic. So it changed a little bit after the pandemic. But you know, you just kind of handle it out all willy-nilly, and you know, there's no real ceremony around it, and it doesn't have to be. That's just a tradition, you know. It's a tradition and how different churches do it. But nevertheless, when I walk into a house of worship, I personally expect it to feel like I'm in church. I want it to feel like I have entered into a holy place. I have entered into a place where the presence of God is there. And in all the years, and you know, I've been in church for 30 years, but I've gone ever since I was a child. So there's a sound that's set in my head for what a church should sound like. And again, some of these things are traditions, things that we're used to, and I do understand that. But I also know the difference between a tradition and it when something is being, when we're being irreverent in the house of God. So let me deal with that. So let's talk about what reverence is first before we begin to talk about what kind of things are irreverent. So reverence is a deep respect for someone or something. It's a feeling of profound awe. Profound awe. A-W-E. And it's an attitude of deep respect with a little hint of awe in it. Okay? So it's a deep, deep respect that we have for something. So we're talking about reverence for God and reverence for his house. So we have a deep respect for God and we're just in awe of him. And we also have a respect for his house, for the house of prayer, you know, for the sanctuary of God. So there should be a respect. And I know during the pandemic, the building kind of lost our respect for the building because so many of us were staying out of church during that time. Because we were, the government closed some of the churches, and then some people were fearful of getting sick, so they didn't go to the church. And then during that 2 years, you know, you heard over and over again that the church is a building, it's nothing more than a building, we are the church, you know, God is in us, just on and on and on. But you know, for years in all my life, all of my church life, I've been going into a building to worship with the saints. And I saw that building as a place that was holy because we set it aside. Holy is something that we're setting aside or dedicating unto the Lord. It's set apart for a specific service unto the Lord. And those buildings have been built as places that we would go to worship together, the people of God. So to me, I saw the sanctuary, the house of God, as a holy place. But again, so we kind of moved away from that during the pandemic. And as the years have gone by, there's a lack of reverence in God's house. I don't know if it's a complete lack of reverence for God. Now maybe we don't even, it's unconsciously an unconscious lack of reverence. So I don't think that we're intentionally trying to disrespect God or disrespect God's house. Certainly the people of God, his children, are not intentionally doing that. But God is saying that's how he's receiving it. Because it's God that sent me to these places and to make these observations. He dropped those observations, those three things, in my spirit. So that says to me that what we think that we're doing, he's seeing something else. So we need to pause. We need to press the brake and listen to what God is saying. And then think about our own as individuals. Am I being irreverent in the house of God? Am I not reverencing God as he should be? Okay. So I want to go ahead and look at Malachi. I'm going to go to Malachi chapter 1. And I want to read some scriptures, some verses there, kind of help us think about how God might see our sacrifices to him or our worship to him. So it's a quite a few scriptures. I do want to start at verse 1, and I'll try to move quickly and talk about it. So Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? So God is saying, I have loved you. I love you. I have loved you. And then you're going to respond to God, how? How have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So Jacob and Esau, they're representing nations, people. And he's saying, didn't I love Jacob? I preferred Jacob over Esau. Pretty much I preferred Jacob over Esau. Verse 4. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord have indignation forever. So this is not God's people. Jacob is God's people, but he's saying Esau's people, they can build, but I'm going to throw it down. And verse 5, and your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Verse 6, let's focus on verse 6 here. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? So the Lord is talking to the priest, and he's saying, so a son is supposed to honor his father, or he does honor his father. Well, if I am a father, and we know God as the Father, so if a son is supposed to honor his father, I am a father. So where is my honor? And if a servant honors the master, well, I'm a master. Where is my fear? Where is my reverence? He's asking right here. And he says, they don't even understand, don't even realize how they're not honoring him. So they will ask God, how have we despised your name? So they're doing this. They don't understand that they're doing this. And this is what I'm saying about the people of God. They're not intentionally being irreverent. Now, if you are an unbeliever and, you an atheist or a devil worshiper or an antichrist, then you will purposely will profane the house of God or profane the name of God. But his children are not purposely doing that. So that the same ignorance that's coming, these questions that we see in 6, well, how have we despised thy name? Or how have we not honored you? These are the kind of questions that they're asking because they don't understand. And God wants to reveal to us how that's being done and how he's seeing it. How he's seeing our worship. How he's seeing the way that we are responding to his presence in the house of God. That's why he's calling this thing out. He wants us to pause and look at what we are doing in his presence. Verse 7, he's going to tell them. They say, how have we despised thy name? So now he's going to tell them in verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, well, wherein have we polluted thee? So he's telling them, this is how you're doing it. You're offering polluted bread. You're putting polluted bread, a polluted offering. You're profaning the altar by offering polluted bread. Well, how have we polluted it? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. You're saying that the table of the Lord is not even worthy of respect. It's disdainful. We don't have to respect it. And then verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Because he told them what kind of sacrifices, how the sacrifice should be. You can't offer anything blind and lame to God. That's unacceptable. But he's saying, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? So God is asking the questions and then he's talking about it. So he's saying, if you offer a blind sacrifice or if you offer the lame and the sick, would you offer these things to the governor? Take it to the governor, offer it to him and see if he'll receive your offer. The governor is someone who's seen with, it's a high position. It's a position of honor. It's a position of respect. And he's saying, you won't even take that stuff to him. But take it to him and see if he'll accept it. So isn't God, and even in a higher position than the governor, isn't he more worthy of a perfect sacrifice than the governor, an unblemished sacrifice? And so, verse 9. And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This have been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? So you're putting anything on the altar expecting to get something from God when you're offering anything to him, or you're offering less than your best, something that you wouldn't even give somebody in the natural holding a position of honor. Verse 10, who is there even among you that will shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. God is very displeased with what the types of offerings that are being presented to him. This is important because, again, this is not coming from me. This is what the Lord has dropped into my spirit, that we have this performance or entertainment like praise. And then there is a high level of irreverence going on in these houses of worship. And this is pointing out that he is not pleased and he is not going to accept these offerings at our hand. Verse 11, for from the rising of a sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And this is not Jacob. So even the Gentiles, his name is great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen. These ain't even believers. The believers are given more honor than the children of God. Verse 12, but you have profaned it. So here the heathen are holding my name in higher esteem than you are. But here you have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. You're getting tired of even praising. You're getting tired of even worship. It's worrying you. It's a weariness to it. We even saying that we just dragging ourselves in here on Sunday, getting kind of tired, actually, of doing it. Verse 13, again, you said also, behold, look, what a weariness is it. And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? You're growing tired. You're not even thinking about what you're putting on. You're not thinking about how you're singing. You're not thinking about nothing. I'm getting kind of tired of coming here on Sunday. So what I'm going to do is just bring less than my best. So instead of looking for the unblemished offering or the pure offering, I'm just going to grab this lame, sick offering and deliver it. Going to half do what I should be doing and give it to God. That's the kind of worship that's going on. Verse 14, it says, but cursed be the deceiver which have in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. So you have it within you. See, these people, they have the male, the unblemished male. So you have the best offering in you. You have a reverent offering in you, but you're withholding that. And you're going to half step and give less than a reverent praise to God. You're going to give less than that. So he says, cursed be the deceiver, which have in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord. I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So his name, the heathen have more respect for his name than his own people. But what I want you to get is how he sees himself. He sees himself as a king, as a royalty. And you know that in the natural kings, an amount of honor that we give. Just think about King Charles here lately in that coronation and all that all that pomp and things that were surrounding his coronation, and all the way the carpet is rolled out and all the hoopla surrounding it for a natural man who's crowned a king. But the King of Kings gets way less celebration and honor than this natural man. So that's why we have to get to a place where we see the King of Kings as the King of Kings and give him a respect that he is due, that is due a king. And that's where we're falling short, because in the houses of worship today, there is a casual atmosphere, way too casual for a king. We are not considering the songs that we're choosing. We're not considering the clothes that we choose to wear. We're not considering even just how we will come into the sanctuary. We're hanging out by the coffee bar. We're stopping in and dragging in at any time that we want to drag in. When we come in, we're having conversations and hugging and laughing and talking. All of these things are going on during the worship. We've lost the fear of God, and we've lost the reverence of God when we walk into the house. And like I said, this is not just for mega churches, because I have also seen this casual atmosphere, this laid back way of entering the house of God, and this laid back way of worshiping is totally different from what I remember as a child, and even from my early days in the church. Now, you know, I've said this before, and I'm old school. I've said it before that when I was growing up, there was a thing called church clothes. There were certain clothes that were purchased specifically for church. And if you think about that, those were holy garments. Holy in the sense that they were set aside, set apart from all my other clothes, as clothes that I'm only going to use or wear when I go to church for worship. And now we don't even think about what we're going to wear. We put on sweatpants and jeans and all these other things to go into the house of the Lord. And now we're on this trend where everybody's wearing sneakers. Sneakers with suits and sneakers with dresses, because we're following the world. We've dressed down and we're looking at God like he's not worthy of anything that's special and set apart for him. Now, once again, clothes are not going to send me to hell. But I'm just trying to make a point here of how we're bringing the lame. To me, when I look at that, I liken that to the lame and the sick offering. I got a male, you know, I got a nice dress in the closet. That's my male offering, that unblemished lamb. But instead, I pull out the lame and sick outfit and drag that to the house of God. You know, or I'm outside and I got to stop and get me a coffee at the coffee bar. And then I walk into the sanctuary with a coffee mug in my hand, and not like I'm going to see a king. Now, you can look at the coronation of Charles, King Charles, and see if you saw anybody in that sanctuary who was sipping on something to drink during the coronation. Because it would not have been proper. But if you can give that king, once again, the natural king, that type of honor, why aren't we giving that to the King of Kings? We've got to get back to a place where we are reverencing the God of our salvation, where we are seeing him as holy and high and lifted up. We are seeing him as holy, holy, worthy of our respect, worthy of our honor. We are lacking the awe that the Bible that the people in the Bible days had for God. We don't have the same awe for him that the people of the Bible, the Abraham and Moses and Isaac and the apostles and that they had for God. The prophets, you know, these people are in awe and they had a fear of God and they did not approach him any kind of way. But our response to the presence of God is unacceptable in this hour. So we need to take a look at how we are presenting and how we are responding to the presence of a holy God. And once again, this is not just for the mega, because this type of irreverence is happening in houses all over. Now, for me, it stands out at the mega church because these places are like big, gigantic organizations. These buildings that they're building don't even seem like churches. They don't seem like holy ground. These big open foyer areas and these auditorium style places, they don't have that feel of a holy ground to me. And so that reverence is just not there. Now, you as an individual can always make sure that you are reverencing God, no matter which house or the size of the house that you're in. But it just seems that in the mega churches, they're so far removed from honoring or being in awe of the presence of God. The houses have just completely changed. This is the smoke machines. It's dark in these places and just thousands upon thousands of people that are sitting and they're listening to somebody speak. But we're missing and we're in our flip-flops, we're in our short shorts, and we're sipping on the coffee. We got our arms thrown around our spouses, and we're squeezing them and rubbing their backs and all of these things during the service. You cannot tell me that you're reverencing God when you're allowing these kids to run back and forth and play with balloons and balls during the time where you're trying to get God to come in and saturate the place. Saints, we've got to get back to the basics of reverencing the God that we serve. He is a great King, and he is worthy of the honor, the awe, and the respect, the fear that goes with that title and that position. He's worthy of that. So if you can give it to a natural king, surely, surely you can give it to the God of our salvation, who is the King of all kings. Think about that. Think about that. The president would get your honor. If you had to meet him next week, you would be looking for the right outfit. You wouldn't be sitting in there sipping on coffee. You would just be waiting to meet the king. The people of the Bible, when they had their encounters, they had to take off their shoes. Moses had to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. Others will fall on their knees, fall on their faces. And we're sitting up with our legs crossed, sipping on a latte. Too casual. We've gotten too casual. So I urge you, I beseech you to stay in awe. If you're not in awe of God, something is wrong. And you've lost something somewhere along the way. And what you're offering is the lame and the sick. And God is not going to accept that offering. Remember that you are serving a king. And when you're going to church on Sundays, you're going to meet the King. Act like it. And that's all I have for you. Till next time, grace and peace.